Debug the hive, kick back, clear your mind.
A missile or drone strike has damaged a Kuwaiti power and desalination plant that supplies roughly 90% of the country's drinking water, officials say. Welcome to Debug the Hype. I'm Alex Morgan, and this show is not affiliated with Reddit or any subreddit. Today's date is July 18th, 2026. That Kuwaiti hit is one of those moments where conflict collides with critical infrastructure. We'll get to why that matters in a bit. Poland has just criminalized patro streaming, live broadcasts that show staged violence, animal abuse, or degrading treatment, with penalties up to 3 years in prison and 5 years for the worst cases, after President Karol Nawrocki signed the bill on July 17th. The law explicitly covers faked crimes and content shown for profit, and supporters, including the State Commission's Konrad Kesiolkiewicz, say it fills gaps where platforms failed to protect children and exploited people. Opponents worry it could chill speech and give the state broad enforcement powers. Watch this, because it's a concrete test of whether national criminal law or platform moderation will shape the incentives that drive the creator economy. A new technical snag is slowing Russia's ambition to scale Arctic shipping. China reportedly declined to supply the propulsion and steering systems Russia needs to build large Arc 7 ice-class tankers and LNG carriers, according to a presentation by Russia's Central Marine Research and Design Institute. CNNIMF says Russia will need, by 2030, multiple Arc 7-class ships, including at least 10 120,000-ton oil tankers and 5 174,000 cubic meter LNG carriers, and that domestic yards don't currently produce those systems. The Northern Sea Route carried about 38 million tons in 2024, well below earlier forecasts, and Moscow has cut 2030 targets to roughly 70 to 100 million tons. The practical point, sanctions and supply chain choke points can turn grand Arctic plans into a logistics problem, not just a geopolitical prize.
The New York Times reports the AI boom is increasingly fueled by debt. Think hundreds of billions of dollars in corporate bonds, private credit, and off-balance borrowing to pay for chips, data centers, and racks. And investors are starting to get nervous. Bond demand has softened. Lenders are asking for higher yields or tougher terms. And market commentators even float a Lehman comparison if a large, leveraged AI player fails. That quote captures the fear that the sector's hardware-heavy buildout could expose lenders and markets if revenue lags. Keep an eye on credit markets. This isn't just tech hype anymore. It's a balance sheet risk that could ripple into broader markets if borrowing used to chase unproven margins keeps rising.
Start with the fire I teased in the intro. Kuwait's desalination and power complex was struck in recent Iranian attacks, officials say. And that's a new and alarming escalation because of one simple fact. Gulf cities depend on a small number of big plants for their water. Kuwaiti authorities reported damage to multiple generation units and a fire that has been contained. And UN and regional analysts warn that, in Kuwait, desalination provides about 90% of potable water. In other Gulf states, the share is similarly high. That's not academic. If a major plant is put out of service, authorities warn some cities could face severe shortages within days, and repairs involving specialized equipment could take months. The strike underlines a harsh reality. Desalination is energy intensive and physically co-located with power infrastructure, so an attack that knocks out electricity can instantly cascade into water shortages. Experts told the press that each plant is extremely vulnerable to sabotage or military action, and because many facilities sit along the coastline, they're in range of missiles and drones. On humanitarian and geopolitical terms, that's a severe escalation. Hitting civilian lifelines raises the bar from military attrition to potential mass hardship, complicates any political cover for the attackers, and pressures neighbors and global suppliers to respond, whether by accelerating replacement capacity, diversifying water supply, or hardening coastal plants. Reddit threads flagged the same concern. Commentators were alarmed this war is now targeting everyday essentials and asked bluntly how resilient a region can be when a handful of plants can be taken offline. The practical policy takeaway is immediate. Gulf states now face three linked priorities:
disperse production, decouple desalination from single power stations, and accelerate emergency water sharing arrangements. Because the strategic logic that treats desalination as a leanness optimization no longer holds in a theater where long-range strikes are part of the toolbox. There's a pattern here that connects to another story worrying officials in North America and Europe. Infrastructure that looks routine suddenly becomes a geopolitical vulnerability. Case in point, across the Atlantic, wildfires in Canada have blanketed large swaths of the northern U.S. with hazardous smoke. And the political fallout produced an unusual claim this week. President Trump posted on Truth Social that the U.S. should hit Canada with higher tariffs to recoup the cost of smoke that he described as filthy, polluted, and unhealthy. And he accused Canadian authorities of willful negligence. The facts on the ground make the public health angle vivid. Canadian agencies reported roughly 900 active fires this season, with more than 120 out of control. And some estimates put over 100 million Americans under air quality alerts at peaks of the plume. But the tariff proposal collides with legal and practical realities. Tariffs are tools for trade policy, not transboundary pollution taxes. And attributing a given inhaled particle to a specific fire or jurisdiction is scientifically and legally difficult. Canadian leaders pushed back. Ontario's premier told critics to send support, send help, rather than lecture. And commentators pointed out much of Canada's forest estate is remote, and fire is a natural, climate-intensified process. Online reactions mirrored the split. Many users ridiculed the tariff idea as impracticable and politically performative, while a vocal minority demanded tougher forest management. The bigger point is the political arithmetic. Domestic politicians find it convenient to personalize an external shock. In this case, smoke becomes a political cost assigned to a neighbor. But that framing risks undermining cross-border cooperation on firefighting, emissions reduction, and disaster relief. Practically speaking, there are better levers than tariffs if the aim is cleaner air, coordinated firefighting resources, joint smoke forecasting, shared public health advisories, and regional investments in landscape-scale resilience. If nations default to punitive gestures, they may get short political applause, but worse long-term outcomes. And the science won't cooperate with simple blame assignments. Both stories together, Kuwait's desalination hit and Canadian wildfires, expose a single idea. In 2026, a broad range of shocks, from missiles to megafires, can turn commonplace infrastructure into a strategic liability, and policy responses that are performative rather than technical will fail to close the vulnerability. How governments respond, hardening plants, sharing emergency supplies, or leaning on trade measures, will determine whether these shocks remain episodic or become permanent drivers of global supply insecurity. I'm Alex Morgan. Debug the hype.
Debug the hype. Where the builders talk it through. Oh, yeah. From the glitch to the glow. Every line, every clue. Debug the hype. Tune in, take that ride.